This is News Today with WDW News Today. I'm Tom Corliss of WDWNT.com. Please like this video, subscribe, and hit the notifications bell to make sure you never miss the latest from the Disney theme parks around the world. If you're wondering why the Toontown Rolling Hills are behind me, that's because this Thursday on WDW News Tonight, we're celebrating 30 years of Toontown around the world, from Disneyland to Tokyo Disneyland to even the now-defunct Toontown Fair right nearby at the Walt Disney World Resort. We're celebrating all of them in a special show at 9 p.m. Eastern on the WDWNT TV channel. It should be a lot of fun. If you can't watch it live, it'll be there in perpetuity for you to watch anytime you'd like as well. So make sure you tune in. We appreciate it. Here now, the news for March 9th, 2023. The Service Trades Council Union has announced a rally for a raise. It's a demonstration next week in response to Walt Disney World's refusal to budge on their slow and incremental wage increases. The rally is set to take place next Thursday, March 16th, near the parking lot for Magic Kingdom cast members. The STCU represents more than 45,000 cast members working across Walt Disney World. Service Trades Council union leaders canceled further negotiations with Walt Disney World following the refusal to add, quote, even 1 cent to their previous wage proposal and the removal of proposed retroactive pay for many cast members. After a brief stalemate, union leaders have planned a rally for a raise, seeking public support for a fair contract. Demonstrators will meet at 5 p.m. on March 16th along Reams Road near Magic Kingdom cast parking. Negotiations over the contract, which expired in October but has remained in force during negotiation, focus primarily on wages, health care, and retirement. The negotiation began with Disney offering a pay raise of $1 as their best offer to cast members, with plans to raise a further $1 per year annually until reaching $20. But the unions asked for $18 per hour now and a plan to eventually raise to $20 per hour later. Last month, 96% of cast members voted to reject Disney's best and final offer. Again, currently they make $15 an hour. They would like $18 now. And as we've told you on the show, you know, Walt Disney World is the most profitable and successful division of the entirety of the Walt Disney Company. So the people that work there are probably entitled to some of that, I would imagine, and shouldn't have to pay for the shortcomings of the studio and streaming services and all of those other things, in fairness, if you want Walt Disney World to continue to be the cash cow. I will tell you this now, I'm thinking about going. I don't know, is that frowned upon if you're not part of the union or a cast member to show up and join this rally? I don't know. If it's allowed, I would love to be there, sign in hand, and let's do it, right? And if that is allowed, anyone who's local and can and supports this cause should go. I hope to see, if that's allowed, I hope to see other bloggers and vloggers there with me as well, and not with our cameras out to film it, just there to actually support this thing. But either way, this is great. I'm glad, even though they can't necessarily protest, that something is happening, and we're going to see where this goes. Bruce Vaughn is returning to Walt Disney Imagineering as chief creative officer effective March 20th, according to The Hollywood Reporter. He will work alongside Barbara Boozer, who is the current president of Walt Disney Imagineering. Quote, in Disney parks, experiences, and products, we continue to invest in new endeavors that deliver the most compelling experiences, immersing our guests around the world in the stories they love most. In the past few years, we have found ourselves at the crossroads of a wave of new technology and a seemingly unlimited amount of new stories and franchises, allowing us to develop groundbreaking new experiences. Of course, none of this comes to life without a strong commitment to creativity and the innovation by the amazing team at Walt Disney Imagineering. Parks Experiences and Products Chairman Josh D'Amaro wrote that in a memo to all of the Imagineering team members. Vaughn left the company in 2016. He has a good understanding of Disney, though, having been an Imagineer for 22 years. He was the CCO of Imagineering from May 2007 until his departure. He also was a part of the R&D department for a very, very long time. Quote, I've remained an Imagineer at heart, Vaughn said, so I'm thrilled to join Barbara and reunite with this phenomenal global team of creators and innovators during this pivotal time. With Vaughn's return, he and Boozer will be restructuring Walt Disney Imagineering as well. There's no details on what exactly that means. But I'm going to stop and tell you why this is the best news of the last several years of the Walt Disney Company, probably second only to Bob Chapek being fired as CEO. Probably second only. Bruce Vaughn had that position as chief creative officer from, again, 2007 to 2016. For me, that was an incredible time. That was an absolutely, not just because WWNT started, but it was an incredible time, I mean, hand in hand, because we got to cover the most amazing things. It was really this time of a renaissance and a rebirth of creativity and a new era of success for the parks and resorts that they had not experienced in quite some time, right? Like they, when Bob Iger came in, he tasked Imagineering with fixing a lot of problems with parks around the world. There were a number of parks they had built that did not meet expectations. They were built on the cheap. They were not very creative or strong concepts. They needed to be addressed, right? So during this period, we have the complete redo of Disney California Adventure, the reimagining, which brings us Cars Land and Buena Vista Street. We have Hong Kong Disneyland adding Grizzly Gulch and Mystic Manor, both of which are probably the two main reasons why you should even go to that park. They're both original, creative, incredible offerings that make that park second to none. And then beyond that, I mean, look at the track record otherwise during those years, right? The Dream and the Fantasy for the Disney Cruise Line. Those are the two best ships, honestly. You have New Fantasyland at Walt Disney World. You have the Pandora. I mean, it opens in 2017, but obviously it is designed, the deal is struck, it is designed and created during this period where Vaughn is there. And of course, he's not solely responsible, but the fact is that the trademark of Walt Disney Imagineering during the Bob Chapek years was sort of this attempt to change the culture of Walt Disney Imagineering, to make it less about creative people and more about architects and interior designers and people that weren't necessarily Disney people, right? And in fact, we know some people at WDI who've said to me before, they're like, if they had known that I loved Disney before they hired me, they would have never hired me. And these are some of the most incredibly creative people I know, people who have done the most incredible projects at WDI, people that WDI is absolutely better off having had, and the parks are better off having their contributions as well. And so that was always heartbreaking to hear. And Barbara Boza, this is not a knock on Barbara. She's very accomplished. She had a great career. She was very high up on the food chain at Gensler, which is a huge architecture and design firm. And so she's, if someone understands large construction projects and delivering them on time, Barbara should be able to handle that, right? And that's great. If that is Barbara's job, and Vaughn's job is specifically more to handle the creative side of things, that's a great marriage, right? The same way that Walt Disney was more the creative guy and his brother Roy was the money guy, that relationship worked out really well for the world and for the company. And so this relationship with Vaughn and Boza should yield similar results, right? And I think Boza being there will placate some other people in the company who maybe, I have to paint this picture for you. The fact is that there are so many people on the executive side of the Walt Disney Company who do not truly understand what Walt Disney Imagineering does. They just look at the numbers and they look at what Walt Disney Imagineering spends, and all they ever think about is, man, that's really a money pit. Oh, we lose so much money. And they don't see the actual benefit. They don't see the money that these incredible creations bring to them. They don't see the profits. But when you let them do what they can do, man, I mean, Animal Kingdom, prime example, Pandora, huge increase in attendance, huge increase in guest spend all across the board, was worth all the time and all the money you spent on that land. It absolutely paid off. Cars Land, Buena Vista Street, the DCA redo, totally paid off. Hong Kong Disneyland was profitable in the years after Grizzly Gulch and Mystic Manor opened. It was, in fact, the first time they'd ever turned a profit. It is proven, it is factually, statistically proven that those projects that are well executed and well funded equal money. It is proven. I just listed a whole bunch of them for you that were huge successes, inarguable successes, right? And so you need someone at the top of WDI that also cares about creativity. And I think this is tremendous. I think, again, from everyone within WDI we talked to, they were all ecstatic. Plenty of people I know who either departed WDI or have retired that I've talked to this week think it's a great sign. And again, between all these little guest satisfaction things that happened a couple months ago, right, where they removed the parking fees at resorts and they're lightening up on pass holders with the park reservation thing, That was a good first step. A great second step is Bruce Vaughn back at WDI in an executive role, helping the creative people of the company. It's a great second step. And you know, Disney, you know what the third step is. You know what the holy trinity, the trifecta of pulling us out of the Bob Chapek era, out of the dark ages, is giving those $3 to those cast members. I mean, you're talking about like $300 million. That's what we're talking about here, which is a drop in a bucket for this company. And there's certainly plenty of ways they'll make up for this. One of which is letting Imagineers build really amazing lands that people just feel like they have to go see, right? I can't even tell you how many California trips I booked just because I was like, I really miss Cars Land. I want to go visit Cars Land again. It's a thing. And I'm sure there's plenty of you that feel the same. And you're like, man, I really miss Pandora. Can we go back to Disney World? I really want to see Pandora again. It works. It's worked throughout the entire history of this company, and it will continue to work. Walt Disney World has begun to remove the 50th anniversary decorations from Magic Kingdom as the world's most magical celebration nears its end. The two giant golden 50s that previously sat in the grass next to Cinderella Castle's moat are now gone. The spot where one 50 sat is clearly visible next to the Sea Monster Topiary on the east side of the Magic Kingdom hub. The other 50 was in the grass near the Winnie the Pooh and Piglet Fab 50 statue on the west side. Before they were moved to the hub, these actually began their lives at the Main Street train station in the flower bed out there on October 1st of 2021. Then that overgrew and they moved them. But nonetheless, of course, the event's been going since then. It's 18 months long and the event will officially end on March 31st. So only days remain in Walt Disney World's poorly received 50th anniversary celebration. As excitement is building for the debut of Walt Disney World's Tron Light Cycle Run attraction at Magic Kingdom, Disney has shared a first look at the Tron Light Cycle Run Team Green post-show. Upon completing their heart-pounding race and returning to Tomorrowland, Team Blue is greeted with the introduction of a new racing team, Team Green, in the post-show sponsored by Enterprise Rental Car. Team Green brings along with them their signature high-performance, most cutting-edge light cycle to join the race. This mean green machine, with its revving engine and vibrant green lights, has been transported from the grid into reality, provides the perfect photo op. Dynamic displays throughout the space showcase Team Green and their formidable light cycle. This is to show the incredible culture, capabilities, and values of Enterprise. I don't know what this means, but this is what it says. On repeat visits, the displays will feature additional stories about the 12 Team Green members, providing riders with new stories about Team Green, giving returning users a chance to enjoy even more of their experience at Tron Light Cycle Run. This is one of the weirdest post shows of all time. I don't know how it applies to the sponsor, and I'm dying to see exactly how it does, because at least this description gives me no idea. A new image of the Tomorrowland skyline has been installed underneath the revamped clock on the Tomorrowland Light and Power Company facade at Magic Kingdom. The small mural decoration is directly below the clock and is the same blue and gold color scheme. This replaces the electrical tower mural that was removed last December. It features silhouettes of the Astro Orbiter, the original entrance of Tomorrowland, those two towering pylons that had waterfalls coming down from them, the defunct Starjet Central Rocket, the new Tomorrowland entrance archway, the one that was installed a couple years ago, and of course, Space Mountain. The marquee below the mural is covered up in a white tarp. It's possible the store will have a new name. It's believed it will, but we don't know what that is just yet. So we'll have to wait and see. Of course, this is where you'll find Tron merchandise here at the exit of Space Mountain whenever it does open later this year. This program is brought to you by our official travel agent sponsor, the Vacationeer, the engineers of your next magical vacation. Sit back and let their team of vacation planning experts craft your family's next magical Disney trip. The best part is their services are free. Visit wdwnt.travel for details. On a recent visit to the France Pavilion at Epcot, we noticed that Impressions de France, the film showcasing the grandeur and romance of the country, is only running for very limited hours in the morning now. It's very, very limited, in fact. It's now only showing between 9 a.m. and 9:30 a.m. It'll open at 8:30 a.m. on days when guests of select Walt Disney World Resort hotels get early entry to the park. Previously, Impressions de France was shown in the evenings after the Beauty and the Beast sing-along for a little longer than this period of time. Obviously, that made more sense, as there's more families in the park during the early morning hours. And in the evening, you may have more people strolling, enjoying a bite and a drink around World Showcase, and may want to enjoy a cultural film and not the train wreck dumpster fire that is the Beauty and the Beast sing-along. Don't leave me comments if you like that sing-along. I don't want to hear it. It's not good. It's not good. This is, without a doubt, I don't know a nice way to put this, the most idiotic operational idea perhaps in the history of the Walt Disney World Resort. Because I'm going to tell you this now. I'm going to make a bet. Make a bet right now. I cannot imagine that more than 50 guests, and I'm kind of over-exaggerating because I think it's going to be way lower than that. I don't think more than 50 guests are going to see Impressions de France before 9:30 a.m. I cannot fathom people other than people like me who are going to run that early in the morning to go sit in that film. That is not a rope drop attraction. It is a nice middle of the day, enjoy the air conditioning, or late evening after, you know, a drink and a snack. That is the proper time to enjoy Impressions de France. Not at 9 o'clock in the morning when you want to go, you know, maybe wait a shorter wait for one of the more lower capacity, higher demand attractions in the park. This is going to change so quickly. It has to, because it's dumb. It's real dumb. Speaking of things, here's a positive to follow that, at least. Figment has been spotted living his best life along Epcot's Living with the Land attraction. Yeah, you heard me right. He's on his own ride. Now he's in another one. A miniature dark purple dragon can be seen peeking out of a flower bed alongside a neon rainbow light and a pair of pyramids. If the neon rainbow hadn't been placed in the flower bed, it would be easy to miss the playful purple dragon. But just in front of the lit neon rainbow, two white pyramids are placed at the meeting point of both flower beds, and a very dark purple dragon can be spotted just to the left and out front of those pyramids, which of course look like those of the Journey into Imagination attraction. Figgy seems to have escaped his Imagineer's Pavilion home and found his way into this flower bed, which the flower bed itself also looks like the shape of the bases of those two pyramids too, but maybe I'm reading into this too much. But man, now the two best rides at Epcot have Figment in them. It's like, I'm joking a little bit, but I do love Living with the Land, and this is a nice, cute little thing. We recently visited Disney's Animal Kingdom and found that the guest interactions have returned to the Festival of the Lion King show. Since the park closed in March of 2020 due to the pandemic, we haven't witnessed the complete rendition of Festival, as the guest interactions were still absent. Of course, Disney has gradually reintroduced several components of the show, and most of it has returned in its full form prior to this, but now the last missing piece is back. At the beginning of the performance, the actors go on stage and split the crowd into four groups, the warthogs, elephants, giraffes, and lions. And next, one of the four hosts invites a member of the audience to join them on stage and instructs them what the sound will be. And the audience member then repeats the sound, followed by everyone in that section. And in the end, everyone in the theater gives a rousing rendition of their respective animal. And at the conclusion of the show, performers are once again bringing children on stage for the finale with African musical instruments. How great is this? It's awesome to see this. I love the guest interaction portion of the show. I mean, especially the kids at the end. It's always real heartwarming. Oh, it is another bad update on the Star Wars Galactic Star Cruiser. In fact, it was announced this week that they're going to be reducing to two voyages a week starting in October, and Disney then put out a statement to Disney travel agents about the change. In the release, Disney said the following, quote, "When the voyage calendar is live, you may notice the schedule has been modified to provide two voyages per week, except for holiday weeks where we may have three voyages. We've been learning a lot during our first year of operation and have adjusted voyage dates to meet the needs of our guests. Star Wars Galactic Star Cruiser voyages for dates in October through December are now available to book. The change comes after months of disappointing occupancy. Galactic Star Cruiser debuted just over a year ago. In fact, this week celebrating its one-year anniversary. And while they were at capacity during their first few months for quite a while, in the fall, they started to see some problems. Things picked up again around the holiday season. And now since then, things have been real bad. In fact, so bad that they've gone down to one dinner service moving forward on these galactic voyages. If you watched my third review of Galactic Star Cruiser, you've heard this rant. I'm not going to go into it too much, but This is clearly going to not be good for the cast members of Galactic Star Cruiser, which I've already said they are among the best of Walt Disney World and care so much. They want to be in this role so much. They're clearly passionate about Star Wars and clearly passionate about giving guests who love Star Wars the most incredible experience. And this is financially not going to work out for a lot of them. And I imagine a number of them are going to leave. I know there's a number of entertainment people left already. More are going to leave. This breaks my heart. Galactic Star Cruiser is a fantastic experience that was simply overpriced. And Disney is still refusing to just lower the price or discount this thing, except they discount it for cast members who they don't pay enough to even go on this to begin with. I just talked about how the impressions thing is the dumbest thing they've ever done operationally. This is damn close. This one's damn close, but we'll see what happens. I mean, I'm at least happy that it's going to continue to be the experience it has been, because I think what they developed works really well. And I don't truly believe that that's the hurdle for most people. I think a lot of people, if the price was much lower, they would overlook the fact that it may not be constant interactions with the characters they know and love from Star Wars. I know so many of you comment with that, but I really think if this was at a price point where you can think about doing it, you'd buy in. And once you dip your toe in this thing, I think you realize it's something really special and really enjoyable. And I've never heard a bad review from anyone who's been on it. So take that for what it's worth. It seems that if Jon Favreau, the creator of The Mandalorian, had his way, Din Djarin's ship would make a crash landing in a Disney theme park. In a recent interview with IMDb, Favreau shared that the Razor Crest would be the perfect attraction for bringing The Mandalorian to Disney guests. In the interview clip, Favreau was asked if he thought about what a potential ride might look like, and judging by his response, it appears he's given it a great deal of thought. Favreau said that his ideal attraction would be probably in the Razor Crest. Creator expanded on his plans for using Mando's vessel, explaining that he sees an opportunity for using the show's special effects for an experience that blends a behind-the-scenes feel with an energetic ride. Quote, I know when I was younger, I loved when they pulled the curtain back on the effects of the movies. It really made me probably want to do what I'm doing now, so I think there should be an educational component, but not educational like a museum reading a plaque, educational like sitting there, feel this, and here's how we did it. He went on to say he would probably do something immersive, developing advanced haptics as part of the attraction. He also would even like to use the assets that they use in the volume. The volume being a cutting-edge filmmaking technology developed by ILM that replaces traditional green screen with a more authentic and immersive backdrop. The volume has been utilized in The Mandalorian quite a bit, as well as The Book of Boba Fett and Obi-Wan Kenobi, two rave reviews. It uses a massive curved LED screen to create photorealistic backdrops, circumventing the need for outdoor locations or extensive physical sets, said Gavia Baker-Whitelaw in the Daily Dot. As the camera moves with the volume, the perspective and light sources shift to encourage the sensation of exploring a real environment. Meanwhile, Kate Backhoff, the actress who plays Bo-Katan in the Disney Plus series, also weighed in on what would be best for The Mandalorian. Sackhoff proposed a new concept, which may seem far-fetched, especially for Disneyland. She suggested replacing Guardians of the Galaxy Mission Breakout with a Star Wars ride. According to her, this would be awesome since the current ride is already one of her favorites. Oh, man. Don't be mean in the comments to her. She likes the ride. She wants a Star Wars one. You know, we know it's fairly new and it's very well received. It's not going anywhere. But I mean, we know Jon Favreau's a big Disney Parks fan. We've seen him in the parks so many times. So I hope he gets to work on something. I think I was actually just having this conversation with someone while watching the second episode of the new season. And I said, why is this not a ride already? Why is this not in Star Tours already, which they've said there's new scenes coming as of last year. We still don't have them. I figured they'd all be Mandalorian related. Something needs to happen. This show is a hit. It's great source material. It is begging to be a theme park ride. It's got to happen soon. As we draw closer to the Tokyo Disney Resort's 40th anniversary celebration, we finally have word on what all the food, drinks, and souvenir items coming to both Disneyland and DisneySea will be starting on April 10th. You can check out the full list at WDWNT.com, including a really cool popcorn bucket. There's some really cool new popcorn flavors. I'm very excited to go try this all next month. Looking forward to it. Since 1984, guests have been lining up at the Disney parks for one of the most popular delicacies, the Dole Whip. But now the signature Disney Parks treat will soon be available in local grocery store freezer aisles. No theme park reservations will be required. According to a recent press release from Dole Packaged Foods LLC, you'll be able to grab Dole Whip at your local grocery store later this year. The press release divulged that three flavors of Dole Whip will be available in your local frozen food section, including the original pineapple alongside with the popular mango and strawberry flavors. No coconut. Come on, guys. I'm joking. I could just go to Magic Kingdom. It's all right. The launch of Dole Whip is part of a larger rollout from the company, which is set to debut 10 other snacks and beverages this year. Of course, these will be a frozen version you could buy in your grocer's freezer. There are some grocery stores out there that have Dole Whip. Shout out to Stu Leonard's up there in the Northeast, especially my White Plains, New York location I used to shop at all the time. Love Stu Leonard's. They go get a Dole Whip now if you're in White Plains, New York. Go for it. For the absolute latest on these stories and all that didn't make it into today's show, be sure to check WDWNT.com and follow us on all your favorite social media platforms. You can support the entire team behind this show and others by joining the WDWNT Inner Globe Society at patreon.com/WDWNT. Get access to exclusive content, discounted show and event tickets, and more. Special shout out to all of our Wigs members watching who make the show happen every week. For the worldwide leader in Disney Parks news, this is Tom Corliss saying, enjoy the rest of your today. Have a great, big, beautiful tomorrow. And go to White Plains and get a Dole Whip.